Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Yesterday, I read a section from a book written by Sister Ruth Burroughs, and she's speaking about faith. And I want to go back to that because just hearing it once is not enough. And I have found it one of the most challenging things to read, actually, realizing how much my own faith has to grow. So let's be on this journey together. And Advent is a wonderful time to be on this journey to a greater faith. Let me repeat what Sister Ruth Burroughs wrote. Faith is not a thing of the mind. It is not an intellectual certainty or a felt conviction of the heart. Now here's her definition of faith. It is a sustained decision to take God with utter seriousness as the God of my life. In other words, not just token, oh yeah, God bless us, God take care of us. Just a token comment. It's not that at all. It is a sustained decision to take God with utter seriousness as the God of my life. In other words, he's over me. He leads me. He is the master. I am the servant. He is God. I am the disciple. It is to live out each hour in a practical confirmation, concrete, that God is Father and that he is in heaven. It is a decision. Here's the hard part. It is the decision to shift the center of my life from myself to him. She says that in the plural. It is a decision to shift the center of our lives from ourselves to him. But I want you to make it personal. It is a decision to shift the center of my life from myself to him, the center of my life, so that everything begins to relate back to God, not just to me, but to God. It is a decision to shift the center of our lives from ourselves to him, to forego self-interest and to make his interests, his will, our sole concern. Because if God's will is done, we're going to be blessed. Sometimes what we will, we think is good and good for others, but God's will is perfect. So you don't lose when you give up control, like, Lord, do this for me. But Lord, let your will be done. Let me fully cooperate with your will. I think this is needed, but I entrust it to your will and to your plan. That's the attitude you need. Each of us has the choice either to live by faith or to live by flesh. To live by flesh is to live within the limits of our own potential, within the limits of our own perception and understanding, according to how things seem and feel, according to our natural experience. It is instinctive for us to live thus, taking for granted that our conscious experience is to be trusted, that it is the way things really are, the way we are, the way God is, that this is our life. We want to remain on this level because it is within our grasp. In other words, it's under our control. It is ours. It affords us a sort of security and assurance. This is so natural to us that we are unaware of how much of our life is lived from self, relying on self and not on faith in the Son of Man. We cannot rid ourselves of this deeply rooted pride and self-possession by our own strength. Only the Holy Spirit of the crucified and risen one can effect it. And this he is indeed always trying to do. But we must recognize his work and respond, amen. Amen means so be it. Shift the center of your life from yourself to him. Only the Holy Spirit can do that in you. It sounds good. But even as Sister Ruth says, the living out of it is very difficult. But it does get easier. The more you let go of the center of your life, and you put God in your place. Put God in his rightful place. Take yourself out of that first place. If you do, you're actually going to be set free. Today's first reading from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 11, verses 1 to 10. On that day, a shoot shall sprout from the stump of Jesse, and from his roots a bud shall blossom. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, a spirit of wisdom and of understanding, a spirit of counsel and of strength, a spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and his delight shall be the fear of the Lord. If you don't understand all those gifts that you've been given in baptism and confirmation, read my book, More of the Holy Spirit. More of the Holy Spirit. You can purchase it online, renewalministries.net, because I've spelled out the meaning of these gifts. A gift, a spirit of counsel and of strength, a spirit of knowledge and of fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be the fear of the Lord, a spirit of wisdom and of understanding. Not by appearance shall he judge, nor by hearsay shall he decide, but he shall judge the poor with justice and decide aright for the lands afflicted. He shall strike the ruthless with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Justice shall be the band around his waist, and faithfulness a belt upon his hips. Then the wolf shall be a guest of the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid. In other words, peace will come. Those who are enemies will find peace if we put his will and his way first in our lives and not our own limited, sometimes very sinful decisions. The calf and the young lion shall browse together with a little child to guide them. The cow and the bear shall be neighbors. Together their young shall rest. The lion shall eat hay like the ox. The baby shall play by the cobra's den, and the child lay his hand on the adder's lair. There shall be no harm or ruin on all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be filled with knowledge of the Lord as water covers the sea. On that day, the root of Jesse set up as a signal for the nations. The Gentiles shall seek out, for his dwelling shall be glorious. That's what God wants to do. He wants to bring peace, brothers and sisters. And he starts with each one of us because we have a free will. I can say no to God, to God's priorities. I can even say no to God's agenda. Even if I look like I'm very successful, I will fail. I may die outside the kingdom of God. Advent is a time, this Advent is a time to really take a look at yourself. What is one thing I can do to displace myself from the center of my life and put God first and his will first? What is it? Ask God to show you. Advent is a short season, but it only takes a split second for God to help you. Ask him. Seek him. On that day, the root of Jesse set up as a signal for the nations. The Gentiles shall seek out, for his dwelling shall be glorious, when Jesus comes as Savior and Redeemer of his people. And the gospel is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 21 to 24. Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I give you praise, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to the childlike. Yes, Father, such has been your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. Turning to the disciples in private, he said, Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I say to you, many prophets and kings desired to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. See, Jesus is telling them that if you are childlike, that is, if you put your trust in me, then I will help you, because all things have been handed over to me by my Father. I want to bless you. I want to lead you to the kingdom of God. And just as Jesus obeyed the Father, that's what we're called to do. if you read the Acts of the Apostles, you see all the stumbling that went on in the apostles' lives as they tried to make Jesus Christ more and more the center of their life, as they yielded that this really was the Messiah. And they became very courageous. After many mistakes, after many falls, they became very courageous. And they died for him. Brothers and sisters, so is the call to us. I don't know what kind of death we will die, but I certainly know that Jesus desires to be at the center of our lives, that we hand over the control to him. Doesn't mean we're passive. Doesn't mean that at all. But it just means that in every decision, every major step in our lives, and even sometimes the minor ones, to say, Lord, what would you have me do here? You direct, I will follow. You tell me what you want me to do, I will do it. That's shifting the center of your life from yourself to him. That's the process. And each time you do that, grace will come. You'll forget. You may even forget for a whole day. But begin each day saying, Lord, I want you in the center of my life today. And watch your faith grow. It's one of the avenues, by acting on it, by acting in that faith, that your own faith will grow. Let me know. Let me know how that happens. I'd be very interested to hear. Dorothy Day wrote this. She's speaking of the childlike, but she said, I know that if anyone started asking 7-year-old Teresa any questions, she would not be able to answer them. She has an aversion to answering questions. She doesn't like to answer questions. And yet, when I hear her talk, hear her wise little comments on things I say, I feel certain as to her spiritual knowledge and growth. About prayer, for instance, Freddie said that he did not know how to pray. Questioned by Teresa, he said that he merely repeated prayers after his mother. All he had to do to pray was to think every now and then of God, Teresa told him. 7-year-old Teresa told him, prayer is just thinking about God. And she said, just remember him, she said, like after I go to communion in the morning. Then lots of times during the day, I suddenly remember that I've got God. 7-year-old said, that's a prayer too. Out of the mouths of babes, brothers and sisters, out of the mouths of babes. Just remember him. Ask him to be more in the center of your life. If you have the courage, ask him to displace you. Remember how I've told you the story of a good friend saying to me one day, who do you think you are, the vice president of creation? I've had to resign, and I've had to resign many times, many times. It's one of the greatest lessons, one of the greatest acts of mercy from God in my life, was displacing myself by his grace and power, displacing myself from the central position and putting him in that position. It costs a lot. But believe me, even as little as I think he is in the center of my life now, it's a whole lot more than it used to be. And out of that comes great peace and confidence and joy. And that's what God has for you. He doesn't want you to suffer so that you suffer. He asks you to accept him in the center of your life, to displace yourself by his grace, and you will know freedom, perhaps for the first time in your life. God bless you. I have been speaking a great deal recently about faith. I have a booklet entitled Faith More Precious Than Gold that I would like to offer you free if you would call our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789. You can also request it by going to our website, renewalministries.net. Perhaps it would be a gift that you would like to give this Christmas. I urge you to read Faith More Precious Than Gold.